thank you for the opportunity to testify, and happy Nowruz.
Good morning. Tackle Cell ID 3181 Southwest Sam Jackson Park Road. Good morning. I wish you a happy new year. I hope that the new year is a year of peace, a year in which nowhere in the world will the sounds of any bombs and the sounds of any military airplanes be heard, and that it be a year full of tranquility and friendship between all the nation's citizens. It is a difficult wish, I know. It is an impossible wish, but that is my only wish. This statement was said by Manijeh Hikmat, a female film director in Iran, in recognition of the Iranian New Year, which is the first day of spring today, March 21st, 2007. Thank you for this opportunity to take a few minutes of your time. My name is Targhoda Saidi, and I was born in Shiraz, Iran, 27 years ago, and moved to the United States with my family when I was 2 years old. Currently, I'm in my final year of medical school at Oregon Health and Science University and will begin internship in internal medicine in June at the University of Maryland. I feel very fortunate to have been able to follow my dream of pursuing this career, and my wish is for the youth of the youth around the world to be able to have this same opportunity. My wish is for the youth of Iran to be able to have this same opportunity. Who are the youth of Iran, you may ask? Approximately 70% of Iran's population is under the age of 30. They are a generation that have survived the war with Iraq and have lived through the Islamic Revolution. They are active politically, scientifically, and in the arts. Iranian youth have been awarded prestigious honors for their educational and artistic accomplishments. A military action against Iran would set back all of this. As a woman, the rights and conditions of other women around the world are of concern to me, and the rights and conditions of women in Iran are of concern to me. The women of Iran have been struggling to improve their lives over the past many years. The accomplishments by the women in Iran for the women of Iran should be noted. Credit should be given to extraordinary women who have dedicated their lives to this cause. For instance, Shadia Sach is a female lawyer, journalist, and activist who has founded the first website dedicated to Iranian women activists called Zanan Iran. She's the author of many articles and books on Iranian women and their legal rights. Shirina Ebadi is an Iranian lawyer, human rights activist, and founder of the Children's Rights Support Association in Iran. She was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2003 for significant and pioneering efforts for democracy and human rights, especially for women and children, and is the first Iranian and first Muslim to receive this honor. 65% of students in Iran who are accepted into universities are female. Iranian female photographers and directors had an exhibition of their work hosted by the University of Cambridge this past month. In 2004, 1,400 independent organizations were established in Iran in areas such as children's rights and environmental control. The managers of the majority of these organizations are educated women. Iranian women have been demanding equal legal status for the past several years to improve the disparity among men and women in laws pertaining to divorce, child custody, and inheritance. A military action against Iran would set back all of this. Under the pretext of war, the civil rights and freedoms fought for so passionately will be taken away. The youth of Iran and the women of Iran and the rest of Iran are like the youth and the women and the rest of the individuals in the United States. They have dreams, they have hopes, they want to create a better world for themselves and future generations. A military action against Iran would set back all of this. During the 1970s, Iranian students constituted the largest nationality of foreign students in the state university system in Oregon. These students have gone on to produce a positive change in their environments. If academic relations between Iran and the United States were maintained, this could again become a reality. The reputation of the United States around the world is unfortunately bleak at this time, and another invasion would only worsen this. An invasion will force the people of Iran to rally around their president to fight a common enemy. Hardliners will use this opportunity to exert even more power. The people of Iran will not allow an invasion. Recently, female film director Mrs. Rakhshan Baniyatamad was asked what she thought of the potential war against Iran. She replied, "The people of Iran do not make up a nation that succumbs to occupation. If our nation is under attack, we will all be there to defend it. I urge you to please consider that. Thank you."
Next, I would like to invite Catherine Thomason and Bruce Livingston. Catherine is a physician for social responsibility, and she just returned back from 2 weeks' trip to Iran.
Thank you so much for hearing and considering this resolution. And you may ask, although answered well by Councilperson Sten, but others may ask why a city council should take on an issue of international import. and I'm here to answer that question on moral, personal, legal, and managerial grounds. The legal argument is clear. The City Council should take a position against illegal military action or threats of military action because our administration has already taken this path before in Iraq. It is illegal to invade or even threaten to invade a country preemptively. As stated in the UN Charter, Article 2, quote, members shall refrain in their international relations from the threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state. Likewise, in Article 39 of the UN Charter, only the Security Council shall determine the existence of any threat to peace, breach of peace, or act of aggression, and shall decide what measures should be taken to maintain or restore international peace and security. So why are the U.S. and Israel threatening and making plans to attack Iran? They claim Iran should not have nuclear weapons, obviously an issue that Physicians for Social Responsibility has been working for over four decades on. The International Atomic Energy Agency is the U.N. agency that deals with this issue. It has been working extensively within the country of Iran to inspect their facilities since 2002 and have them work within the law. In March of last year, Mohammad El-Baradi stated that even sanctions were a bad idea. He states, "We are not facing an imminent threat. We need to lower the pitch. Nobody has the right to punish Iran for enrichment. We have not seen nuclear materials diverted to nuclear weapons, but we are not saying the program is used exclusively for peaceful purposes because we still have work to do." Unfortunately, the U.S. nor Israel has lowered the pitch, nor has the United States invited Iran to the negotiating table. I have personally seen the effects of these threats on Iran coming from a recent trip with a peaceful organization called Fellowship of Reconciliation. Basically, just as the United States government and officials became paranoid after the attacks of September 11th, and many of our civil rights were curtailed. Likewise, in Iran, a very wonderful independent social health care worker said to me, "If you bomb Iran, we will have more repression than North Korea." Hence, the take-home message is that threats of military action, or of course military action, only leads to the need and desire for more security on behalf of the country involved. Morally, the action of the City Council as it hears this resolution and hopefully passes it sets the tone for all American citizens. It's essential that this issue gets aired in the media, not just in the New Yorker magazine, which I thought was good for mostly comics, but in our regular television stations and newspapers. Only through public discourse can we help to influence our legislators and put pressure on this administration. Our president believes he has the war power to invade Iran, even though he does not. Even without the action of this council, and more councils around the country, the bully would win. Only by standing up and being counted can we demand that our own laws be followed. Personally, I also appeal to the council to pass this resolution. As a physician, I'm submitting a report that I've handed to you, put out by Physicians for Social Responsibility, on the health impacts of an attack on Iran, and including potential use of a nuclear weapon on Natanz or Isfahan for buried targets. The results are almost indescribable. I spoke with men and women in Iran who were personally touched by the Iran-Iraq war. In fact, almost everyone in the country is personally affected, whether they have a family member dead, maimed, or severely psychologically traumatized. They are all very averse to war, as are, of course, our soldiers coming home from Iraq. The additional damage that an aerial attack or multiple military targets would also take out public health structures, communication structures, transportation needs of the people of Iran. Some experts have assessed that the U.S. military would be able to conduct strikes on as many as 10,000 targets in the first 24 hours of assault on Iran. The tragedy of the earthquake in Bam, Iran, would be analogous to the type of devastation from multiple area attacks such as these. Iran, at that point, was forced to rely on support marshaled by the World Health Organization from 40 countries. The health system of Iran requires a lot of travel to major cities where the hospitals are. The roads would not be passable, and travel would be curtailed, resulting in many more deaths due to lack of treatment for injury. Lastly, and probably most importantly, to your work as city councilors, is the impact on Portland from the U.S. policy in Iran. First, many military leaders have stated that this attack wouldn't even work and would only harden the resolve of the Iranian government if they are even resolved to do so to further develop nuclear weapons. Secondly, Iran might respond, obviously, to a U.S. attack, as you've heard these American-Iranian citizens state, launching attack against Gulf allies in the Middle East. And a military response would, of course, spread the human consequences across international borders, fueling instability across the Middle East. That, in turn, threatens our economic stability as well. The bottom line, oil prices would soar. 20% to 30% of world oil passed through the Straits of Hormuz. As your recent peak oil report eloquently stated, our transportation system is dependent on foreign oil. 17% of our food costs are as a result of transportation and oil costs. And the economy as a whole will suffer disruption and volatility that will in turn impact health, city, state revenues, and a reduction in services that that you can provide. So on moral, legal, and personal grounds, as well as being wise stewards of our city government, it is very important for you to pass this resolution today. The action set forth to pressure our federal government both to pass House Resolution 770, requiring the administration to return to Congress for war powers, to encourage our administration to sit down in open and honest diplomatic efforts and to encourage people and cultural exchanges with our own sister city would serve us in Portland and enhance peace and economic stability of the world. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Your Honor, Commissioners. My name is Bruce Livingston. Thank you for hearing us today. I'm a fourth-generation Portlander, and our family's engagement with Iran goes back to the 50s, when my father took a job at Namazi Hospital in Shiraz as the first neurosurgeon to be south of Tehran in the history of that country. Last night, I read over the resolution and have been thinking a lot about this and thought about what could I write? What could I write that would make sense? I felt very much like Alice falling down the rabbit hole. Things seemed so self-evident and so clear, yet muddled in some ways. I believe that this council is exactly an appropriate place for foreign policy to be discussed. It seems reminiscent of Athenian democracy. It's democracy happening at the level of the people. That's the right thing. I also stand in awe of the two Iranian ladies who testified earlier. That personal connection, that passion about what is Iran, is key. My nephew was born in Shiraz. I have friends who were tortured by the Shah's regime. I have friends who were executed under the current regime. Yet my feelings for Iran are perhaps best exemplified by a telephone call I received yesterday morning from a man who worked for my parents as a cook back in the 50s. He's something of a jokester and called to wish me Happy New Year's and told me he was in San Francisco, and I hadn't seen him for 30-some years. As the conversation went on, it turned out, of course, he was in Shiraz, not in San Francisco. But what is absolutely clear is that this is a personal connection between America and Iran. Iran is not a threat to America. Iran has always been a crossroads between the East and the West, has been, to risk the use of the word pawn, it has been treated as a pawn by the great powers for two centuries. Yet it has never exhibited expansionist tendencies. It is not interested in invading other countries. We have no business being there. The resolution, I applaud heartily. I thank you for approving it and moving it up the chain of command. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh. No, I'd like to share some words myself. First of all, Mayor and Commissioner, it's really a great honor to be able to speak to you. But also, it is sad that once again I have to talk about the consequences of an escalation of war. In recent weeks, the President, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and many other politicians have said over and over that they are not planning to attack Iran. Yet they keep sending more specialized troops, aircraft carriers, and other attack units to the region. U.S. Navy can put 6 carriers into battle at a month's notice. 2 carriers in the region, the USS John Stennis and the USS Dwight Eisenhower, could quickly be joined by 3 more now at sea, USS Ronald Reagan, USS Harry Truman, and USS Theodore Roosevelt, as well as by USS Nimitz. Each carrier force includes hundreds of cruise missiles. Even presidential candidates are in a race to outperform each other on their toughness towards Iran, emphasizing that no option is off the table. From a rational point of view, one would question if the administration is serious about the threat and how and why they could carry it out. This is not just a guessing game. Deploying troops at this level is by all means more than what would be needed for psychological warfare. Our experience with Iraq war has given us all the reasons to be concerned about the possibility of an attack on Iran. Although Iran played supportive roles in both Afghanistan and Iraq, it could never convince neocons that it's trustworthy. When Saddam's statue came down, people around the White House were not satisfied and were advocating going to Tehran instead. Despite the obvious results of the Iraq war and the predominant no vote to war during 2006 elections, the administration still beats the drum of war and even expanding it to Iran. The Middle East Democracy Project, as was laid out by neoconservatives, could not completely change the Middle East as long as a defiant state like Iran was in the region. Democracy was supposed to spread into other countries like an oil stain, but this did not materialize, and now the Bush administration has to put the blame on someone other than itself. All independent observers state that by far the majority of American troops are attacked, injured, and killed by Sunni insurgents, yet Iran is equated with al-Qaeda in the President's State of the Union speech as the major reason for the U.S. losses in Iraq. One should note that although the current fights are between Iraqi Shia and Sunni groups, this is not necessarily a religious sectarian war. Rather, it is a political fight between sects in line with the U.S. presence and those against it. No need to say that Kurdish Sunnis are by far closer to Shia Arabs than they are to Arab Sunnis. And Shia Hezbollah in Lebanon is an ally of Sunni Hamas in Palestinian territories. As BBC's analyst Roger Hardy writes, Iran plays 5 strong geopolitical cards in the region. First, it plays a major role in the global strategic market of oil, as Dr. Thomason said. It has a third crude oil reserve in the Middle East and the 2nd gas reserve in the world. It sits on a Strait of Hormuz, potentially having control over flow of more than 75% of the oil shipment from the Middle East. Second, it plays a key role in Lebanon Hezbollah affair. Third, it has influence over the Palestinian-Israeli issue with relation it has maintained with Hamas and other Palestinian organizations. Fourth, obviously, has obtained a major role in Iraqi stability through the Shia connections. And fifth, it has found influence over the streets of the Arab world, especially in the Persian Gulf states. As one could imagine, by playing with these cards, a friendly Iran can make anybody's life in the Middle East a heaven, and an Iranian enemy can turn it to hell. It is with that understanding that a large number of the Middle East scholars advocate better relations with Iran and keep it on their leash by providing services and connection it needs, as opposed to pushing it into a confrontational state. Iran has offered olive branches several times through the Swiss embassy in Iran, through the Iraqi President Jalal Talabani and Abdulaziz Hakim, Siri chairman, latest in 2006, all to be ignored. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates recently had this to say about Americans' negotiating position vis-a-vis Iran. Frankly, right at this moment, there is really nothing the Iranians want from us. And so in any negotiations right now, we would be the supplicant. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice also dismissed talking to Iran about Iraq. The only reason to talk to us would be to extract a price, and that's not diplomacy, that's extortion. The fact that U.S. administration has not engaged with Iran in a diplomatic way when it had the upper hand in 2003, and now that it doesn't have a strong position, shows that the administration or element thereof are not willing or not capable of negotiating with a defiant party. The only group that may benefit tremendously from this attack, undoubtedly, would be the extremist faction within the Islamic Republic itself. As both Catherine and Targhul mentioned, the U.S. invasion of Iraq was indeed a God-given gift to the fundamentalists in the government. They were able to capitalize on the instability in the region and present themselves as the only viable option that can save Iran in dangerous situations. They are primarily coming with Revolutionary Guard and or intelligence background. In addition, they portrayed themselves as populist with economic ideas that can deliver to the poor and more traditional families. This false image, however, is now totally disappeared, and the majority of people see that election campaign promises were not delivered, yet international relations have been severed, and sanctions and financial troubles are underway. A better standard of living and less state interference in people's private life, a result of 16 years of neoliberal and reform agenda, is fading out, and consequently, hardliners are losing ground. This attitude shift was clearly observed during the recent municipal and city council elections. According to the most observers, Iranians are very proud of their country and heritage and are expected to defend it with enthusiasm. In a situation that lacks any plausible alternative to the Islamic Republic, the nation will most probably gather around the status quo and become a defender of the existing system, despite all the maladies that it carries. Notwithstanding the problems that Iran has in regards to human rights, women rights, ethnic minority discrimination, and financial and economic prospect, I believe that sovereignty of the country plays a major role in an Iranian response to this attack. This has been voiced over and over by Iranian intellectuals such as Shirin Ebadi, the Nobel Peace Laureate of 2003, to the point that some of the grassroots democracy movement activists in Iran are on hold in the fear to be seen by anyone as an invitation for foreign interference. Regardless of from what vantage point one looks at this, the future of the Middle East, and especially Iran and the Persian Gulf, is very dark if these scenarios take place. From a rational and pragmatic standpoint, and if lessons learned from Iraq are of any value, destabilizing Iran would amount to decades of chaos in the exact same region that Kissinger refers to as a region on which the energy supplies of the industrial democracies depend. The former neoconservative theorist and director of Johns Hopkins University International Development Program, Professor Francis Fukuyama, described Iranian foreign policy as pragmatic and announced that a comprehensive political agreement between the U.S. and Iran was still possible. In spite of the Bush administration's present confrontational approach to the Middle East, the grand bargain may still be there. Our hand is weakened than it was 3 or 4 years ago, but still it is possible to negotiate. Let us just hope that the troops from both sides sitting eye to eye in the Persian Gulf don't cause a disaster by mistake. And let us pray that apocalyptic leaders of the two countries don't attempt to expedite the rapture intentionally to fulfill what they perceive to be God's wish. Thank you for considering the resolution.
Thank you, Gudaris. And that's the invited testimony, Mayor.
How many people have signed up to testify?
We have 10.
10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to ask folks to keep their comments to 2 minutes each. Let's bring on the first three folks.
The first three are Teresa Teeter, Martha Perez, Ann Huntwork. If you'd come up, please, and you'll be followed by Martha Odom, Reza Kamali, and Harvey Torstad.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
Oops. Sorry. My chair closer. Hi, my name's Teresa Teeter. I'm a member of Portland Peaceful Response Coalition in Portland, Oregon, a peace activist group. This was a headline on August 30th, 2004, when George Bush was interviewed by an AP reporter, and then said, "You can't win the war against terrorism." And when asked to give us an answer, it just says, "You can create conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world." Well, George Bush basically has turned himself into his own weapon. Taking those words backwards, he's turned himself into his own tool in which the rest of the world is not going to accept him. And I highly agree with that. I'm tired of the wars. We don't have the funding in America that we need. I'm going to give you an example. I had a next-door neighbor recently who terrorized our building for 2 years with the threats of having weapons in their apartment and using them as leverage to try to monopolize everybody's lives in the building. And the management, who had contracts with me and with them, the same contract, didn't create new policies to try to stop this problem. So I'm comparing this as America has a policy on how they deal with possible perceived threats. But Iran is not a possible perceived threat just because they have a weapon unless they use the weapon. My next door neighbors didn't use their weapons until finally 5 months ago, which finally created the condition to get evicted. The police department was unable to do anything until weapons were produced to take action against these folks. And then they didn't use the guns. They wound up using a baseball bat, so that got them evicted. But that's my point in comparing these situations. George Bush doesn't need to be going in because he has a perceived notion that there's going to be a weapon used against us just because somebody owns a weapon. And that's what I'm trying to say. That's all I need to say. Other people need to say things. Thank you.
Okay. Are we ready? Okay. Hi, good morning and Happy New Year. My name is Martha Perez. Oh, excuse me. And I am a general political activist. I currently reside at 920 Northwest Kearney, number 110, Portland, 97209, and I'm also a general member of Jobs with Justice. This past week, Portland witnessed a historic peace movement through downtown, which garnered national and international media attention. A message of hope was also sent to the Iraqi people via Al Jazeera network affiliates. A victory was won in Salem yesterday, and so, my friends, today, let us pioneer a fourth affirmation together. Let's pass the Iran resolution now. Let's bring a renewed sense of civility, diplomacy, and friendship. May the white dove finally break free of her chains, and may we move forward in a good way. And thank you.
Next.
My name is Ann Huttwork. I live at 2116 Northeast 18th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Before the revolution in Iran, our family spent 10 out of 15 years in Iran, and we've been back since three times, the most recent in 2004. We have four daughters born there with Iranian middle names. I want to tell a quick story about my experience with Iran. I am no expert on Iran. Every day I learn something new about that wonderful country. When we were there in 91, it was right after the first invasion of Iraq, and right after, just a couple of years after the long war with Iraq by the Iranians. And so I was curious, and I said to some of our Iranian colleagues, why are you letting all these Iraqis in? You just had a bitter war with them, and we've seen the results of it, and we've heard people's stories of terror and sadness and loss. And they said, because they're our brothers and sisters. When we were there after the Afghan invasion on the other side of the country, working with refugees from Afghanistan, we heard the same kinds of stories. And at one point, Iran had more refugees per capita than any country in the world. That's more than we can say in this country. No one can speak for all the Iranian people, but I can see in my mind the faces of the people I love there, who are there living. And I can tell you that they are people who have the same desires that we have, the same dreams that we have, as other people have mentioned. And I don't want any of those people to lose their lives. The word that we kept getting every time we've been back, from taxi drivers to storekeepers to people in schools, we don't want any more bloodshed. We had enough during our war with Iraq. Just leave us alone and we will solve our own problems because we have the skills to do it. And I truly believe that.
Happy New Year, Iran.
Martha Odom, Reza Kamali, and Harvey Thorstad. They'll be followed by Tamara Dean, Aya Nori, and excuse me if I have that name wrong, and Dan Handelman.
Mayor, commissioners, my name is Martha Odom. I'm a member of Code Pink and the Surge Protection Brigade. Thank you for this. I share the sense of surrealism about this. And I would like to stress the urgency of what we do here today and what we do when we leave this room, regardless of the resolution here. There are symptoms that this is not some vague threat down the road, but that it is imminent and it is horrific. We have seen a parade of administration spokespeople say that nuclear weapons are not off the table and may in fact be the tactically optimum solution to the Iran problem. This is horrifying beyond words. In recent days, we have, it's weeks or months now, we have seen the troop escalation. It was 20,000, now it's 30,000, and we'll do another 7,000 or 8,000 in the next few walls. These people are being deployed lacking equipment, as we have seen in the past, but in our rush to build up in the Middle East, they are skipping essential and prescribed training. The striker brigade that is leaving shortly from Fort Lewis is totally skipped mandated training for deployment to Iraq. Yesterday, Israel held a national civil defense drill based on the premise that they would be attacked by missiles. And yesterday, the U.S. and Israel concluded 2 days of simulated war games based on missile attacks. Israel's never had a national civil defense drill before. It is imminent. It is dangerous. Wall Street analysts have warned that an attack on Iran would be an unmitigated disaster. Thank you for this forum. We must stop this.
My name is Rezai Kamali. I live on 2133 Southeast 60th Avenue, Portland, 97215. I've been living in this country for about 47 years. The past 5 years, I've been to Iran 6 times. And I want to mention something. First of all, I came here to thank you in person. And I think what you're doing, even though what this step is going to really be educational for not only people in Portland, but I'm sure it's going to reach more people outside of Portland. There is so much little information about Iranians and Iranian culture, and I'm very disappointed in Portland, Oregonian, since revolution. I've never seen one single article about Iranian people, Iranian culture, Iranian families, etc. And every time I read the paper, it's the voice of government that mentions Iranians are terrorists, etc. I want to say one thing. I've observed and read in literature everywhere that Iran is the best friend of the United States in the region. United States has 3 good friends. They're all dictators, unbelievable, strong dictators. One is Pakistan, one is Saudi Arabia, and the other one, Egypt. And more anti-American people live in those 3 countries that the best friend of the United States than Iran that the United States doesn't get along with. And Iranians throughout history have been good friend, good supporter of democracy that America portrays here. And I want to say that whatever you're doing here hopefully educates people to learn more about Iran, and we are not terrorists. We contribute a lot to peace, so this is really what I wanted to say. I'm sorry.
I'm Harvey Thorstad, Commander of U.S. Navy, retired Vietnam vet, President of Veterans for Peace here in Portland, Chapter 72. I'd like to applaud the council for bringing up this issue. I'm supportive. Also, thank you to the previous speakers. I certainly support and agree with them. I have a sense of deja vu. A little over 40 years ago, the situation was very similar. We had our warships and patrol in the Gulf of Tonkin off of Vietnam. There was activity in the country of Vietnam, and the government wished to accelerate and invade. They generated up a false flag incident. It's become known as the Gulf of Tonkin incident. Some of our CIA people ordered some gunships disguised as North Vietnamese, attacked one of our destroyers in the Gulf, and were fired back upon, and that became the excuse to drastically increase our force in Vietnam. A false flag incident. I think if we, our government, were to decide to attack Iran, it would be similar. I expect it would be more sophisticated than that. A hypothetical scenario, I emphasize hypothetical, might be that one of our undercover agents in Iran, with connections to one of the more radical groups, would suggest perhaps that this group might like to sink one of our ships out there, maybe the carrier, maybe the Eisenhower, for a minor fee, say maybe a few million dollars. I have a contact that would be able to provide you with a missile, not an ordinary missile, but one with an atomic warhead, stealthed, and could fly low and would not even be detected until it hit one of our ships. So this radical group figures that's great. They really want to show the Americans. So they purchase an atomic missile, fire it, and it does just as advertised. It's, with all the knowledge behind it, it's able to go undetected, hit and sink, for example, the USS Eisenhower. First we would hear about it would be perhaps President Bush on national TV.
Sir, you're going to have to wrap it up. Your time is up.
Let me just close and say I support the resolution.
Thank you.
Next, we have Tamara Dean, Afa Nauri, and Dan Handelman. And then they'll be followed by Kasim Naderi.
Who's the other person?
With N-O-U-R-I is the last name.
You folks speak. Please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes, and also you do not have to give us your home addresses.
Thanks. I'm Tamara Dean, and I just want to say I'm really proud of my city council for putting forth this initiative for a peaceful relationship with Iran. I can't believe we're actually passing around bumper stickers that say no war in Iran. On Iran. I share Commissioner Stan's frustration at the thought that the federal government may again attempt to wreak devastation and horror with military aggression preemptively on foreign soil and, sadly, in my name. I have family in Iran, and last night we talked and laughed in celebration of New Year, and I'm just shuddering to think about the devastating effects they would face if Bush and company actually carried out an attack on their fascinating and wonderful country. And it's in honor of them, my family there, and the human family in general that I urge you to adopt the resolution that we're discussing today. Thank you.
My name is Afa Nauri. 1079 Country Commons, Lake Oswego, Oregon. I have been in this country since 1985. I came with my 2 children, and now they are grown. My son working on his PhD at University of Princeton, and my daughter got her master's degree at University of Washington. She has two children, and she's very activist and working on peace in San Jose, California. I really wanted to thank you for giving us the opportunity, and I would like to educate American and, if it's possible, talking more and in news and newspaper, radio, and just let us know to be heard. And Iranians are like other people, human beings. They are willing and trying for peace, and they are tired of being bombardment again. We had 8 years war with Iraq, and this time is really need to be build the country and raise our children in peace. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter and Council. I'm Dan Handelman. I'm with the group Peace and Justice Works, and I'm speaking on behalf of our Iraq Affinity Group. We very much support the message of no war on Iran, and we're very glad that this resolution mentions the effect that any kind of war would have on the Iranian people, which I think a lot of times we talk a lot about U.S. possible casualties without thinking of the people in the other country. It's very exciting. This council's already passed two resolutions about ending the war in Iraq, and this actually is the third because it does call for an immediate end to the war in the Middle East. So this is probably unprecedented in the country to have three resolutions towards ending the war in Iraq. I think you know and you heard that the state legislature passed a resolution in the House yesterday calling for the troops to come home from Iraq as well. This resolution, again, also calls attention to the escalation of troops in Iraq and notices that that might be used for an attack on Iran. We had an event out across the street there at Terry Shrunk Plaza on Monday where we were sending a message to the Iraqi people, and that message started with the words peace, salam, which is Arabic for peace, shalom, and which is Hebrew for peace, and sol, which is Persian for peace. And we included those in some of the picket signs we held, hoping that people will understand that the connection between U.S. policy in Iraq, U.S. policy in Iran, and U.S. policies all over the world that are not benefiting us and not leading to peace. So we really appreciate your leadership in this, and particularly your taking the opportunity to take leadership ahead of time this time and passing this resolution before anything horrible happens. And hopefully this will start a cascade of such resolutions across the country, and maybe the U.S. will change its course and policy. Thank you very much for your time.
And we have one more testifier, Kazem K. Naderi.
Please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, my name is Kazem Naderi, and I live in Westland, Oregon. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Commissioner, to give us this opportunity to express our view on the what's going on right now around the world. I'm very glad and happy to live in the city that always advocates democracy and peace around the world, and I strongly support this resolution.
Thank you. Discussion? Call the vote.
Leonard.
Well, I really do appreciate the thoughtful discussion that happened here today. And I would have to agree that any time we have young men and women that come from our community that go to a war in a foreign country, it is our business to hold hearings on it and pass judgment on it. And so I very much am in agreement with Commissioner Stenz and testifiers' comments to that end. it is amazing to me that we find our place in world history at the place that we do. The United States, with its resources and the goodwill of its people, should be a force for good and helping countries throughout the world who are suffering from famine, drought, and other natural calamities. Instead, we find us using our resources to get a foothold on oil to further our industrial engine. I can't be more embarrassed about that state of affairs for us. But as I said earlier, we, I think, in America have come to the place where we can't wait till the next election to change the direction of what happens. And I would send one message along with this resolution to Congress, and that would be to Senator Smith. If Senator Smith wants to, for at least this person, prove that he is in fact come to the place where he is challenging the precepts of this administration, I would appreciate him standing up on the United States Senate floor, holding this resolution and reading it and sending a message to the president of his party that he agrees with the Portland community that there is absolutely no basis for or justification for an invasion of Iran or a bombing of Iran, and that the Congress take a its rightful place and forcefully rein in what would otherwise be an out-of-control administration, to hold them accountable as they are obligated to under the Constitution to do. So I appreciate this discussion. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to wish the Iranian people, Persians, Happy New Year. And I've had the pleasure of working with both Mort and Zeri in my roles here at City Council, but as Commissioner in Charge of the Water Bureau with Mort and presently Commissioner in Charge of Parks with Zeri. And I've known many Iranians throughout college and my professional life as a consulting engineer as well. So I think this is right on the mark here. There's, you know, the people of Iran and the people of the United States have long-standing good relationships with each other. Our governments often go askew. And while I'm pleased to support this resolution, I also want to, you know, it can't go unnoticed by me, someone who's Jewish, that the president of Iran in December hosted a conference to for those who don't believe the Nazi Holocaust actually happened. So, you know, I have to reconcile that. But I know when I see, look out in this audience and see all these good people, I hope you join me in condemning the president of Iran in his erroneous, ridiculous beliefs. But otherwise, I'm pleased to support this resolution and pleased to vote aye.
Sten.
Well, I wanted to, in opening, share Commissioner Saltzman's point, and I think that the point of this resolution is that, as I do not support our president's point of view on world affairs, I think many Iranians do not support and consider those views as offensive and wrong, as you just laid out. And I think the way we make this case, as we all agree up here, is to build those ties and to undermine, using fear, using demagoguery, to create different paths. So I think I've said enough on this. I'm very proud of all of you for coming. I wanted to thank the Iran-America Friendship Society that brought this forward to me. I also want to thank Kathleen Gardapi in my office, who helped get this into resolution language and have it all ready to go. We will forward this to the Congress and to the White House. My understanding is Portland now becomes the second city in this nation to pass a resolution like this, and I think that will help get more done. And, you know, hopefully we are doing this before this is imminent so that we actually can get a message. And I do believe that, well, we do not set foreign policy, the Congress does. And I believe the Congress listened in the last elections, and I believe they will listen more closely to these types of resolutions given the climate now. I think there's more ability to push things. And I do believe if we can spark a conversation nationwide in city halls and in localities, that the presidential contenders are likely to listen as well, as they are obviously off to the races much earlier than usual. So I do think this can have a very strong political impact, and I think it's within the Congress's power actually to pass something like the Boland Amendment from a different struggle that would make it more clear that they are not making the mistake that many of them have now repudiated and sort of claim they didn't do of giving the president whatever authority he wanted under any conditions. They ought to pass congressional law that says there will be no escalation in Iran without congressional approval. I think that's very, very possible. So that's the political side. On the friendship side, it is New Year, and my understanding, I'm being signaled, I think, with hand gestures that say mean food is available downstairs, and the council is deeply behind on our schedule, so I expect we'll join you, but it may be a while, so please don't wait to serve the food, and enjoy yourselves, and thank you so much for bringing this to us. Aye.
Potter.
Interesting, at the end of World War II, when over 50 million people had died worldwide, that the United States took the position through the Marshall Plan that it's better to rebuild and reconcile and build towards peace rather than to punish. I wish that our country today had a similar policy that reflected the principles that the Marshall Plan included. Because it wouldn't make these, it would make these resolutions unnecessary. But I believe that they are. I'm glad that all of the folks who were here today testified. You certainly touched my heart and pointed out the really importance of not just being silent, but speaking out on issues as they come up. I'm pleased that Portland is taking this stand. I believe that we have to, in order to achieve social justice, we have to work for peace. And peace in all areas, and place diplomacy at the top of the list, that through talking and not the use of force, we can achieve the interest of the United States without sacrificing other people's lives or their nations, or the ability to maintain commerce. So I believe that this is consistent with what America's ideals are, not its current practices. And I believe that as a country, we do need to come together. We do need to say we need to change what we are doing on the nations, to the nations of the world. To me, it's no coincidence that that the United States stands by as Darfur has evolved into civil war and hundreds of thousands of lives are lost. There's no economic gain for us there. In North Korea, where we now have folks with nuclear weapons, that we are now willing to sit and talk with them, that wherever we are, whether it's in South America or other parts of the world, that our message should be a simple one, is that by sitting and talking and reconciling our differences, I think that we will get much further down the road in rebuilding the relationship of the United States around the world and also promoting democracy. I don't believe you can beat people into democracy. They have to want it and accept it. And I think the way you do that is by talking. Thank you all for being here today. I vote aye. Sorry to be businesslike, but we got to get on with the business of the city. So let's hear the, if you folks don't mind, I'd like to get through some of the emergency ordinances, or do you want to get to your?
No, I was going to suggest that. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave not too long from now, so I was actually going to recommend if we could do the emergency ordinances and then the resolution.
Yes. So, Carla?
Could we take the consent vote? That includes emergencies.
I'm sorry. We didn't do that because we only have three of us here.
Vote. Okay. Please call the vote. Were any items pulled from the consent?
No.
Okay. Please call the vote.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Stan.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Let's go to item 286. And then 287 and 289. Please
286, pay claim of Amy Bender.
I pulled this off the consent agenda. It was a traffic accident involving a police officer and a citizen, and I recommend that we approve the claim for the $8,900. Did you wish to add any more detail to that?
No. Mark Sterker from Risk Management, Mayor.
Okay.
If there's no public testimony, so moved.
No, I didn't have a sheet out.
Okay. Please call the vote.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Sten.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. 287.
Authorize the Bureau of Technology Services to contract for the purchase of IBM servers and related products for the Enterprise Business Solution Project.
Okay, go ahead and proceed, folks.
Okay.
Quickly as possible.
The Enterprise Business Solution Project is in full swing, and we're making great progress. So we're here today because we need to purchase IBM servers and related projects for the implementation and the ongoing operation of SAP, the software, for our ERP system, and it's part of the project. Today, we need this ordinance adopted to authorize purchase of the servers, and the urgency is that IBM is currently offering a discount on these servers through March 23rd. So we're working with a vendor to select we're working to select a vendor, and this will reduce the overall cost of the servers. And we have budgeted $1.2 million, and it's included, this cost would be included in the budget of the project.
Questions?
You had me at discount.
I'm sorry, what?
You had me at discount.
Anybody sign up to testify on this?
I didn't have a sheet out.
Okay. Anybody here wish to testify on this matter? Please call the vote.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Sten.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Thank you. Please read item 289, and then we're going to jump ahead to item 294.
289, authorize an agreement with Portland Streetcar, Inc. for project management and finance planning services related to the Portland Streetcar Loop project.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Vicki Didi with the Office of Transportation, and I'm the city's project manager for Portland Streetcar. This contract with Portland Streetcar, Inc., excuse me, will provide for project management and finance planning services for the Portland Streetcar Loop project, which was formerly known as the Portland East Side Project. Portland Streetcar, Inc. will subcontract with Shields Oblitz Johnson and the consultant team that was selected by the city solicitation process. It is federally funded, therefore, we receive those federal funds through an intergovernmental agreement with Metro, and therefore, we operate under their umbrella for disadvantaged business enterprises. The consultant team has met the aspirational goals set by Metro, and also, they have received permission from the Bureau of Purchases for a delayed implementation of the Equal Benefits Program due to their the day that they have benefits open again.
Did anybody sign up to testify on this?
No one has signed up.
Please call the vote.
Leonard.
Aye. Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Sten.
Aye.
Potter.
We have the deputy DA here on 294.
Yeah.
Could we call that very quickly?
What did we just do? I thought we just did 294.
That was 289.
289. It was a streetcar.
Oh, okay.
294. Place public areas of St. John's Plaza in the jurisdiction of Portland Parks and Recreation for enforcement purposes.
I'd like to have Mark Warrington of Park Security and Deputy District Attorney Jim Hayden just come up here and briefly explain this.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. The St. John's Plaza is not only used for transportation, but people use it as a park. And our team, meaning police, the neighbors, Parks and Rec, recognize that to manage it most effectively, we could apply park rules through this resolution, use the park rules that we just updated recently in here. So that's the heart of it, and We're just here for questions.
This and just I'll be very brief. I know you've had a long day. This stems from the council some time ago voted for an alcohol impact area out there. Before we got to OLCC, frankly, we had some technical issues and then found out we really didn't quite have consensus on an alcohol impact area. We came back to the drawing board and said, well, what if we